3. The Dragon Lady. Paul was so sweet when he came in from his search. He hugged me so hard I cried out from the rib, and then laughed. I'll always remember that. Me laughing and him crying, with his big grin. For hours he had pictured me out there, dead, prepared himself for finding my body. It was his for the asking. At least that hadn't changed. Mother wanted to call a general assembly so I could tell everybody the complete story all at once, but Dargo Solingen wouldn't allow it. She said that children do stunts like this to draw attention to themselves, and she wasn't going to reward me with an audience. Of course she's an expert about children, never having had any herself. Good thing, they'd be monsters. So it was like the whisper game, where you sit in a circle and whisper a sentence to the person next to you, and she whispers it to the next, and so on. When it gets back to you, it's all wrong, sometimes in a funny way. This was not particularly funny. People would ask if I was really going around on the surface without a Mars suit, or think the Martians stripped me naked and interrogated me, or they broke my ankle on purpose. I put a detailed account on my website, but a lot of people would rather talk than read. The MRI didn't help much, except for people who wanted to believe I was lying. Dr. Jefferson said it looked like an old childhood injury, long ago healed. Mother was with me at the time, and she told him she was absolutely sure I'd never broken that ankle. To people like Dargo Solingen, that was a big shrug. So I'd lied about that, too. I think we won Dr. Jefferson over, though he was inclined to believe me anyhow. So did most of the people who came over on the John Carter with us. They were willing to believe in Martians before they'd believe I would make up something like that. Dad didn't want to talk about it, but Mother was fascinated. I went to talk with her at the lab after dinner, where she and two others were keeping a 24-hour watch on an experiment. "I don't see how they could be actual Martians," she said, "in the sense that we're Earthlings. I mean, if they evolved here as oxygen-water creatures similar to us, then that was 3 billion years ago. And as you said, a large animal isn't going to evolve alone, without any other animals. Nor will it suddenly appear without smaller, simpler animals preceding it. So they must be like us." "From Earth?" She laughed. "I don't think so. None of the 8-limbed creatures on Earth has very high technology. I think they have to come from yet another planet. Unless we're completely wrong about areology, about the history of conditions on this planet, they can't have come from here." "What if they used to live on the surface?" I said. "Then moved underground as the planet dried up and lost its air." She shook her head. "The time scale. No species more complicated than a bacterium has survived for billions of years." "None on Earth," I said. "Touché," she laughed. A bell chimed, and she went to the other side of the room and looked inside an aquarium, or terrarium, or Ariesarium here, I suppose. She looked at the things growing inside and typed some numbers onto her clipboard. "So they went underground 3 billion years ago with the technology to duplicate what sounds like a high-altitude Earth environment, and stayed that way for 3 billion years. She shook her head. "The record in Earth creatures is a bacterium that's symbiotic with aphids. Genome hasn't changed in 50 million years. She laughed. "This would be 60 times longer for such a complex organism, and I still want to know where the fossils are. Maybe they dug them all up and destroyed them just to confuse us. But it's not like we've looked everywhere. Paul says it may be that life wasn't distributed uniformly, and we just haven't found any of the islands where things lived, the dinosaurs or whatever." "Well, you know it didn't work that way on Earth. Fossils everywhere, from the bottom of the sea to the top of the Himalayas. Crocodile fossils in Antarctica." "Okay, That's Earth. It's all we have. Coffee? I said no, and she poured herself half a cup. You're right that it's weak to generalize from one example. Paul could very well be right, too. There's no evidence one way or the other. But look, we know all about one form of life on Mars, you and me and the others. We have to live in an artificial bubble that contains an alien environment, maintained by high technology because we are the aliens here. So you stumble on eight-legged potato people who also live in a bubble that contains an alien environment, evidently maintained by high technology. The simplest explanation is that they're aliens too, alien to Mars. Yeah, I don't disagree. I know about Occam's razor. She smiled at that. What's fascinating to me, one of many things, is that you spent hours in that environment and felt no ill effects. Their planet's very Earth-like. What if it was Earth? That stopped her. Wouldn't we have noticed? I mean, a long time ago. What if they lived only on mountaintops and developed high technology thousands and thousands of years ago? Then they all left. It's an idea, she said, but it's hard to believe that every one of them would be willing and able to leave, and that there would be no trace of their civilization 10 or even 100,000 years later. And where are their genetic precursors, the eight-legged equivalent of apes? You don't really believe me. Well, I do, she said seriously. I just don't think there's an easy explanation. Like Dargo Solingen's, the figment of imagination theory? Especially that. People don't have complex, consistent hallucinations. They're called hallucinations because they're fantastic, dreamlike. Besides, I saw the dog. You couldn't have put that dent in it with a lead-lined baseball bat. And she can't explain the damage to your Mars suit either, without positing that you leaped off the side of a cliff just to give yourself an alibi. She was getting worked up. And I'm your mother. Even if I'm not a model one, I would goddamn remember if you had ever broken your ankle. That healed hairline fracture is enough proof for me. And for Dr. Jefferson and Dr. Milius and anybody else in this goddamned hole who didn't convict you before you opened your mouth. You've been a good mother, I said. She suddenly sat up and awkwardly hugged me across the table. Not so good, or you wouldn't have done this. She sat down and rubbed my hand. But if you hadn't done it, she laughed, how long would it have been before we stumbled on these aliens? They're watching us, but don't seem eager to have us see them. The window on the wall was a green board of differential equations. She clicked on her clipboard and it became a real-time window. The storm was still blowing, but it had thinned out enough so I could see a vague outline of Telegraph Hill. Maybe tomorrow we'll be able to go out and take a look. If Paul's free, he'd probably like to come along. Nobody knows the local real estate better than him. I stood up. I can hardly wait, but I will wait. Promise. Good. Once is enough. She smiled up at me. Get some rest. Probably a long day tomorrow. Actually, I was up past midnight, catching up on schoolwork, or not quite catching up. My brain wouldn't settle down enough to worry about Kant and his categorical imperative. Not with aliens out there waiting to be contacted.